You are Locked On Fantasy, your daily fantasy football podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Fantasy Football Podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Vinny Iyer. When I'm not doing this, I'm writing about NFL and fantasy football for SportingNews.com. So come to the site now, check out what we have. We're looking at all the depth charts, the latest one, the Patriots, breaking them down as we go into OTAs. We've also had positional rankings there, quarterbacks, wide receivers, tight ends. You can check those things out, and those are reality, but you can take some fantasy information and insight out of that, so some good stuff there. We've had some great stuff earlier in the week here on Locked On Fantasy Football. We've been breaking down my 17-round experts consensus mock draft that I worked on there in May here to get a finger on the pulse of what's going to happen later in August. We went through on our two previous shows, rounds 1 through 4, 5 through 8. Today we'll look at rounds 9 through 12 there and break those down for you. And then we'll close the week and take you into the weekend with a final look at there, rounds 13 through 17, what you do in your drafts there. And keep in mind that you can subscribe to Locked On Fantasy Football with a brand new podcasting app, Himalaya, as well as Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. And when you get in your car, it's easy to play it, Locked On Fantasy Football. Just say, play Locked On Fantasy Football with your smart device. And today's show is brought to you in part by Hotels.com. Don't be envious of your friend's trip. Book your own great trip with Hotels.com and get rewarded basically everywhere, anywhere you go. Hotels.com. Be there, do that, get rewarded. So time to dive in to rounds 9 through 12. First, we can do a quick recap of what we did in round 8. We saw five quarterbacks go off the board. Matt Ryan, Carson Wentz, Jared Goff, Cam Newton, and Jameis Winston trying to figure out the best of the back end QB1s there, basically. And we turned the corner, and again, what do we think about from rounds 9 through 12 overall as a strategy? To me, it's taking a few more risks, maybe some guys that are young and unproven. So some upside guys there, some people that other people are down on, maybe outside the box thinking on different situations where you might have better information at this point. That's what you're looking at here, and a lot of guys that have had down seasons from last year will be lingering around here that you can also take advantage of. Guys on new teams that are a bit of unknown quantities as well, and some just all-out weird picks can happen here as well. But here, I think this is where you can experiment a little if you've got that solid core of round 1 through 8. If you've got certain needs, don't lock into them. Don't also be a slave to the rankings of any kind. Sometimes you have to go gut one guy over the other position versus another position. All those things you keep in mind here. So it's okay to take a few more chances with rounds 9 through 12 if you feel solid about the core of your team. Basically your starters for the most part in the key positions in rounds 1 through 8, especially in this particular mock draft where we're using three wide receivers and a flex. Round 9, starting it off with Dante Pettis, and he is right there in the Chris Godwin, DJ Moore range of that upside young receiver who can do a lot of that damage here. Working off Marquise Goodwin, who may have a smaller role on the table, or Gabriel Vane there. And with Pierre Garçon gone, Dante Pettis is clearly the number 2 target there, and a great pickup here around 9 with Jimmy Garoppolo coming back, a rebound candidate in his own right. And after George Kittle, you'd say Pettis is the guy that you would trust most in this offense. Now, Chicago Bears went in round 9, and Bears had a special season. They carried a lot of teams to victory, but we know that you can fall in a trap. No matter how good a defense was, we can just look at the previous year with the Jaguars. You take them early, you're probably not going to get the value that they return. The Bears getting them later last year, now that was a value because you had Vic Fangio in the defense and Khalil Mack all of a sudden joined it late in the year, and you were looking great to have a defense with the Bears that took it a whole new level with Mack. But fake Fangio's gone. They've lost Adrian Amos and Bryce Callahan. A few guys gone there. It's extremely hard in this league to build on that of production year after year. You figure the Lions, Vikings, and Packers will be a little better in that division. So, again, you had defense going round 9. The next one didn't go until round 12. And then after that, the next one was in round 15. So, big opportunity cost to jump on a defense this early, especially when there's players at other positions that could really help you. And that's where I'm always going to go. And, again, if you don't get a certain position here, you might regret a little bit more than not getting a defense. No one regrets, I didn't get a defense here, so I'm totally screwed on my team. No, you just stream one and or pick up one late and play them, or pick up two and alternate them week in and week out, and you're fine doing just that. Now, it's interesting there as the third pick of this ninth round that Golden Tate went ahead of Sterling Shepard. And with that, it was just a bit surprising to me that it's Tate being perceived higher than Shepard at this point. Shepard is the guy who got the contract. He's the guy that was next in line, has the established nature with Eli Manning. So if it's Eli Manning going in the season, you feel pretty good that Shepard is the guy. Golden Tate is going to fight with Evan Ingram for targets. We saw him fade a little bit with the Eagles last year. He's an older wide receiver. Shepard has got the bigger upside, got the quarterback connection, was a key target last year. We'll pick up where Odell Beckham Jr. left off. So Shepard definitely over Tate is what you feel. And there's a lot of this type of question marks here that receiver A, receiver B in these situations where we're not sure who the clear number one is. Same thing goes for Emmanuel Sanders, who went in this round, and then Cortland Sutton went in the beginning of the 10th round. Again, we have to watch this situation. Sanders says he's back and healthier and could be a big factor, but then there's Cortland Sutton and Deshaun Hamilton, the tight ends. Who will Joe Flacco connect with most? So these are some questions that will get answered here depending on what else happens with these teams. Flacco and the chemistry. The Giants, is Daniel Jones going to be mad? Is he going to favor Golden Tate? All these question marks will be come to an answer here. Tyrell Williams, I really like Tyrell Williams, the receiver. I'm just not sure this Derek Carr, the situation opposite Antonio Brown, is great for him there. And actually, Kelvin Harmon went before him, the rookie from the Redskins, ahead of Terry McLaurin. So I'm not sure what to think there, but that the old adage, somebody has to catch the ball in the Redskins. Well, I'm not sure about that. We don't know from whom. You have Josh Doctson in the mix, Jordan Reed in the mix. Just a situation I'm avoiding in general with receiving corps. So Tyrell Williams, much better pick. At least he's playing opposite Antonio Brown. Going to see some high volume and potential downfield looks from Derek Carr. Daryl Henderson is the type of ideal, I think, round 9 through 12 pick. You have Todd Gurley as a knee issue. This is where you're looking for. Some guy that you scratch off lottery ticket, very much like James Conner last year. This is where James Conner owners struck in this range, hearing things about Le'Veon Bell and knowing that he would be ultimate insurance. And Henderson's a guy, if something happened to Todd Gurley, no more C.J. Henderson, you plug him in. You've got some RB1 type production there, and that's something you can't ignore at all. Same thing a couple picks later, Sterling Shepard in between, Rashad Penny. Same thing with Rashad Penny. Again, Chris Carson, we know he'd come off a broken leg from 2 years ago. Penny is a first-round pick. He looked good when he was a little bit healthier at the end of last season. There's no more Mike Davis. So Penny, to me, later is a better value than Chris Carson earlier. Matt Breida, of course, you're going to avoid. This was a draft right before we heard about his injury. So he is not there. But, again, this is going to be a battle to watch there. Jerick McKinnon and Tevin Coleman. Will Jalen Hurd get looks? The 49ers running game in the backfield is going to be a frustrating thing. So is the Bucs, but Ronald Jones gets some hope here with Bruce Arians. This is a pretty good value pick. Again, I'd rather take Ronald Jones late than Peyton Barber early, and that's how I kind of look at these split backfields, get the value versus reaching and wasting a higher pick. Dante Moncrief is next. James Washington also going a few picks later in round 10. When you look at that, Dante Moncrief, again, the Steelers are trying to figure out who's their number two coming over from the Jaguars. Moncrief steps in a good spot in my Steelers depth chart breakdown. I think there's things they could like in James Washington and Constructor Field. Deontay Johnson, a lot like Emmanuel Sanders and Antonio Brown. But Moncrief, again, Moncrief could be that solid guy, rebounds here, good situation, a lot of vacated targets without Antonio Brown and Jesse James in there in Pittsburgh. So Moncrief, again, we'll watch this carefully, see who develops there. We know James Washington, Big Ben didn't always see eye to eye last year. Moncrief could step in there and take advantage of that. Well, Got to also remind you here that today's show is brought to you by Grip 6. The goal of Grip 6 is to literally make the best belt that's ever been made. It's an easy, thoughtful gift for dads, brothers, husbands, uncle, grandpas, even moms and wives. Yes, they have a women's collection too. Ultra lightweight, no holes, no flap. Carries a low profile. And you will look great and feel super comfortable with a Grip 6 belt. And Grip 6 has a special offer for you. Just visit grip6.com/lock. And again, remember that you can download this podcast through the Himalaya app. In an ever-expanding podcast world, you need Himalaya with their personally curated playlists and new features every day. Download Himalaya at your app store and subscribe to Locked On Fantasy Football. We'll be right back here to start looking at rounds 10 through 12 of my Experts Consensus Mock Draft. All right, let's pick up at round 10 here as we continue my mock draft analysis. Cortland Sutton there went in this particular draft. I'd mentioned him versus Emmanuel Sanders. Could go either way. We're going to watch the Joe Flacco situation carefully and Drew Lock as well if they have to toggle and go off him. So it's things that developing and still early, and that's why you have to pay attention to everything in the offseason there. Kareem Hunt next. I think Kareem Hunt is going on name on this 10th round. There's a real possibility to me that Kareem Hunt could miss this entire season. Nick Chubb is a special back as well, so we don't even know what role he could have, especially with Nick Chubb and Duke Johnson there. So way out flyer, not interested. Next one is Jay Ajayi right now without a team. Maybe someone's anticipating someone gets hurt. I don't see Jay Ajayi there being of great value. A lot of teams have cooled off on him after showing some initial interest. Now you get more interesting. This is why wide receivers, you look at waiting here, and it's beneficial. You have D.D. Westbrook. Again, someone has to catch the ball. That adage, throw out the window, but you have to examine the person who's catching the ball. D.D. Westbrook, best Jaguars receiver, very talented. Nick Foles is their legitimate passer. So Westbrook has produced okay at times in the right situation when he can eat up some slot corners. As a wide receiver 3, Westbrook has some of that upside, and that's a perfect, again, round 10 pick. So is Curtis Samuel, who went right after. DJ Moore getting the buzz, but Curtis Samuel could be just as involved with him and Christian McCaffrey, so good value there. Paris Campbell, Indianapolis losing Ryan Grant and Dontrell Inman, looking for a little bit of juice there. Paris Campbell certainly provides that for them, and again, got young player to watch, exciting there. Next couple picks, handcuffs. We're in that handcuff range. It's really not a handcuff. It's more high-end contingency, and Kerryon Johnson behind him. You have C.J. Anderson. Johnson coming off the knee injury. Anderson is your new handcuff there. We know what Anderson did as a super sub last year. So did T.J. Yeldon, did really well. So C.J. and T.J. back-to-back. T.J. Yeldon worked out as pretty much as an RB1 borderline whenever Leonard Fournette was out. And we know he's behind LeSean McCoy, he's a little older. Frank Gore, also older in the mix, and then the rookie behind him. So Yeldon right now looks like the best value in terms of where you take him as a Bills running back. Now, James Washington, so almost a full round after Dante Moncrief taken here. So, again, we'll watch that situation. Washington looks good early. Moncrief could have a role developing behind Ben Roethlisberger, but there's definitely value to have there behind Juju Smith-Schuster. Justice Hill, again, Justice Hill taken with the 10th pick in this round, in this 12-teamer. Deion Lewis with the 12th. Who you're going to go with? Of course you're going to go with the upside person. Justice Hill in a running offense is the number 2 behind Mark Ingram versus Deion Lewis. In a power run offense where they've got more guys who can catch the ball, that's what you have to weigh in when you make these decisions. And who's got the better upside? Is anyone going to lose you or win you a championship? I say if anyone's going to win you one, it's going to be Hill versus Lewis, and that's how you look at it. And Devin Funchess also in the mix here from the Colts. Again, so Paris Campbell and Devin Funchess go here. I think Campbell's going to end up being the guy. Devin Funchess is just a guy, and they also have some catch radius guys to cut into his production there with Jack Doyle and Eric Ebron at tight end. We go around the corner to round 11. You have your second wide receiver. Christian Kirk was taken round 8 from Arizona. Now you have Larry Fitzgerald. It's an interesting offense to watch. Sounds like they're going to spread the field. Use Hakeem Butler, Andy Isabella, David Johnson. Spread the ball around quite a bit like a Texas Tech offense would with Cliff Kingsbury. So that's something to watch. I don't know if that's going to help or hurt Fitzgerald with the ball spreading around a little bit, being unconventional, especially with Johnson's role out of the backfield. So I think round 11, it's weird to see Fitzgerald all the way down here, but this actually might be too high for him. DeSean Jackson, you're taking a flyer there, thinking that he's the number three option behind Alshon Jeffery and Zach Ertz. Again, he's a big playmaker. He's fit in Philadelphia well before, but still questions about that. John Brown, question there with what he can do in Buffalo, especially with Robert Foster and Zay Jones. So Zay Jones went two picks later. So everyone's looking at John Brown versus Zay Jones, but I think Robert Foster will get a bigger opportunity to be that number one, so to speak, in Buffalo. And that actually was from pretty good production last year. Nyheim Hines, a little bit of a miscalculation there on the person who took him. You have Jordan Wilkins splitting carries, but you also have Spencer Ware now. Could be a key straight-up backup to Marlon Mack. So, again, after Marlon Mack, it's tough to have a handcuff, and that's why you don't necessarily force the issue because you don't have high upside here either. After Zay Jones, you have Marquise Brown here with the sixth pick of the 11th round. With that, again, you're going with a rookie. They need pass catchers there in Baltimore. They took him in the first round to use with Lamar Jackson. So, again, Marquise Brown, instead of splitting the difference on a guy like Larry Fitzgerald or a Bills receiver or number two, Marquise Brown gives you at least an opportunity as a number one, and that's what you look at. TJ Hockenson, pretty aggressive to me, but I think he's got that potential to be a tight end one right away in the Lions offense. I like the aggressiveness. Again, is he going to give you something bigger than Zay Jones? Absolutely. He has a chance to be your starting tight end and really make a difference. While Zay Jones, you're looking at six catches for 70 yards in a particular week. Well, Hockenson could, again, be your TD1 for most of the season. Geronimo Allison's next. Right now he leads the way as the number two receiver. Really, they need a number three there with Randall Cobb gone as well. So whoever's the number two is going to see a lot of work there in Matt LaFleur's offense. Geronimo Allison could be the guy. He did very well down the stretch until he got hurt last year. So that is the thing we're looking at with Geronimo Allison. We have Dante Foreman go. Again, Dante Foreman late over taking Lamar Miller early for sure until we hear otherwise with Foreman's injury. You have Gus Edwards there in round 11. Not interested at all. I mean, you look at Justice Hill, he's got the upside now behind Mark Ingram and not feeling either what Kent Dixon potential cut has there. Anthony Miller there, the Bears, if you're looking for a second receiver, I think he's the guy to look at behind Allen Robinson. Kiki Kuti is very interesting. I know Will Fuller went way early in this draft, not fully healthy, but Kuti could be right behind him as a number two, just working in the slot there with Deshaun Watson. So Kuti, again, one of those ideal picks here late in the draft in this kind of this nitty-gritty late middle portion there where you can find those values. Well, it's good to know that summer's almost here. That means you got to be fashionable with your summer shirts. And I'm pleased to say that today's show is also brought to you by Untuck It. And do you ever wonder why your father's buttons up look so long and baggy at the end of the day? It can be hard for guys to pull off a casual untucked look that isn't sloppy. Well, Untuck It is a solution you're looking for. It's the solution that fits just right. With Untuck It, their shirts are specifically designed to look great untucked and feel comfortable, very comfortable at work or on the weekend. No tucking or tailoring at all required. Go to untuckit.com, promo code locked on to get 20% off. We'll be right back here to close this third look in my expert's mock draft with a breakdown of round number 12. All right, let's close here with one more round here. We've taken a little bit more time with the individual picks, less with the overall strategy today because we want to focus on the players and how you come up with making those decisions, player A versus player B. Mecole Hardman. Now, this one is a tough one. Some people are really high on him. I get it. Kansas City is short on receivers. Tyreek Hill is off the board now with all those issues going on. So, Mecole Hardman, a lot of people talking about a clone, but I think Sammy Watkins being forgotten about a little bit, and we mentioned that earlier. I think Watkins should be considered a lot more than the buzz of Hardman being a Hill clone because I think there's a long ways to go there. Jared Cook is a pretty good sneaky value here in round 12 at tight end. He's going to New Orleans, where we know tight ends have put up some big numbers in the past, with Jimmy Graham coming off a big year himself. They need a touchdown guy. Really, if you want to pull back, I mean, Michael Thomas is the man, high volume, Alvin Kamara, high volume, but they need that third option with their wide receiver still young and questionable. Jared Cook in a great spot to produce and a good value here in round 12 if you're looking at him as a tight end one potentially. Michael Gallup, again, one of those receivers that can slip through the cracks here, as we forget that he has some upside here with Dak Prescott and now Amari Cooper established as a receiver. As a number one there, that changes things. Marquez Valdes-Scantling, we mentioned him. Watch him and Geronimo Allison in that battle. Robert Foster goes here in this round. Again, Foster, this round, much better value than Brown or Zay Jones in the previous round. Marquise Goodwin, staying away from him, I think. Just too many people there, and he's too low down. I think the one thing that helps Goodwin is the chemistry, Jimmy Garoppolo, but he's an older guy that also gets hurt quite a bit, so staying away there. Now, this was an interesting pick, Damian Harris. And why did Damian Harris go this high? Well, it's where he is in New England, and we know New England's backfield is unpredictable. We know that he can handle Sonny Michel and James White's role. Could jump Rex Burkhead. We're going to watch that battle, and if he does, then Harris will definitely have draftable appeal. Vance McDonald, another tight end going. He could have a big year as well without Jesse James, but we'll see. That's where we're going to play it out, look at the offense a little bit more, the wide receivers without Antonio Brown, the tight ends without Jesse James, and see where to go from there. The Rams come off the board as a defense. This is more like it. If you're going to start looking at a defense, round 12 would be kind of the place to start here to round it out. Trey Burton, not interested in him at all. I mean, very disappointing after a flash there for the Bears. We'll have to see if we can get more out of him, but a lot of mouths to feed in Chicago, and that makes it extremely hard sometimes to trust anyone there going forward. Carlos Hyde was taken as your handcuff to Damian Williams. And we want to watch that situation a little bit more carefully. Hyde didn't stick there in Cleveland. We'll see if that changes here. And there's a better handcuff opportunity in Kansas City that emerges. And finally, in round 12, Ben Roethlisberger. I mean, Ben Roethlisberger goes this low. I mean, that's the kind of quarterbacks you're going to get this late. I mean, this is kind of the wheelhouse for sleeper QBs. And guys that are undervalued are good high-end QB2s that you can look at. But Ben Roethlisberger this late, I think people are worried about no Brown, no James. How is he going to rebound and put up some points? I mean, in relation to those other quarterbacks that went ahead in that 6th to 8th round, you had Matt Ryan and James Winston, Carson Wentz, Jared Goff, Cam Newton. So at this very moment, that makes a lot of sense to have the man of Ben Roethlisberger. But really the question mark as we break down rounds 13 through 17 in the next show is, should have some of the quarterbacks taken behind him gone in the spot instead of Ben Roethlisberger? But that tells you where you're at when Ben Roethlisberger is a 12th round pick, that you have a lot of depth at QB. Maybe the bar for QB1 is changing, and the bar for an elite starter is also changing as well. So a lot of things to think about there. But interesting, I think, looking back on rounds 9 through 12 of this expert's mock draft. And we'll definitely have a lot more to talk about it, breaking down rounds 13 through 17 to close this mock draft talk tomorrow. So check that out. And then we'll be into a nice long Memorial Day weekend. So a good way to get into that and give you the insight you need for fantasy football, especially in May, to get you going with advanced scouting. Thanks so much for listening. This has been Vinny Iyer for Locked On Fantasy Football. And remember, you can subscribe to Locked On Fantasy Football with the new Himalaya podcast app there. Check that out for sure. I highly recommend it. Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify as well. And when you're going around in your car or sitting at home and want to listen to the show, it's easy. Just tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Fantasy Football. So however you're listening to us and wherever you're listening to us, thanks again for listening. And we'll talk to you next time with the end of our expert early mock draft analysis.